This is Pastor Greg Cumby from Our Savior Lutheran Church, 2800 Millwood Pike, Winchester, Virginia, and we welcome you to our weekly broadcast here on News Talk 1400.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our passage for this morning is historical narrative, meaning the commentaries don't have very much to say about it. It's very important when we come to Genesis chapter 12, in my opinion, to begin with Joshua 24, verse 2, Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Joshua 24:2 says, "And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many.'" Abram lived in a very famous city called Ur of the Chaldees. In the 1920s and the early 1930s, the excavations of this Mesopotamian city of Ur by a man named Dr. Leonard Woolley received extensive media coverage around the world. Woolley's discovery of a royal cemetery at Ur, containing a vast collection of gold objects, along with evidence of human sacrifice, drew visitors from all over the world, including at the time a mystery writer, a young lady named Agatha Christie. Woolley's expertise in bringing the past to life included what he called the Great Death Pit. It's a site he would show people containing 73 bodies of servants arranged sacrificially around Queen Puabi's decorated corpse. These treasures discovered at Ur suggest that Abraham's social and religious environment was very advanced, and it was just as pagan as those of the Babylonian and the Egyptian dynasties. Regarding knowledge of the one true God, the future seemed very bleak, without hope, except for this one promise of a blessing for Shem that God gave to Noah after the ark landed in the mountains of Sinai. The people of ancient Ur worshipped many gods, but they were known for one special god known as Nana, the moon god, believing that he had the power to bring good fortune and prosperity to his disciples. The residents of Ur, they saw the moon as being a powerful celestial entity that had a major impact not only on the natural world, but also on human fate and destiny. And so Nana's temple in Ur served as a religious center where priests and priestesses performed a variety of rituals and ceremonies. The new moon festival marked Nana's cult, and it spread throughout ancient Mesopotamia from the central location at Ur. Well, why am I giving you all of this context? Well, it indicates grace. By that I mean the Lord called Abram not because he was better than anyone else, because they were all idolaters. Every resident of Ur deserved condemnation and eternal death. The point I'm making is that Abram did not merit God's favor in any way, but God still decided to love Abram first, as the hymn puts it, and demonstrate his grace by saving this undeserving pagan man. Verse 1. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you.'" God's invitation to Abram demanded that he give up what we would consider to be the usual sources of personal identity and security. He told him to give up his family and to give up his country. In doing so, God was asking Abram to place full trust in him and to obey his commandments. God said the results are dependent upon your obedience. And according to Acts chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, God called Abram before he lived in Haran. And despite not knowing where he was headed, Abraham faithfully obeyed the word of God. And so it's important again to note that God commanded Abram to leave behind three things. First of all, his country. Second, his kin. And third, his father's health. These were all very important sacrifices Abraham forsook when God placed his call upon him. As Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 puts it, Abraham went out, we're told, not knowing where God would take him. What this means is, of course, he obviously knew the general direction he was heading, but he had no idea what his final destination was. The departure from Haran was an act of pure faith to an unknown God. For his final and permanent destination, Abraham only had to rely on God's promise and not on any information that had already been given to him. Needless to say, this would have taken a tremendous amount of faith. Verse 2, And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. The Bible contains many promises of God's blessings to his people, including the one to Abram, who you remember was initially childless, but he was promised that his descendants would not only fill the earth, but that through one descendant, they would bless all nations. The Bible expanded the name of Abraham, we see his name throughout the New Testament, with Christians in the New Testament being called his spiritual offspring. And indeed, all of us here today are sons and daughters of Abraham, our father in the faith. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In Matthew 16:18, our Lord promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ, and that Satan cannot harm God's promise to redeem the world through this promised seed of a woman or Savior. We see this in historical events like Pharaoh's defeat at the Red Sea, the destruction of the king Sihon and Og. God has faithfully upheld his promise, and the gospel, despite opposition from world powers such as Mesopotamia, Babylon, Greece, and ancient Rome. And it's interesting here, I will bless those who bless you and dishonor those who curse you. The Bible shows us many examples of people who befriended God's children. We think of the midwives in Egypt. We think of Rahab, the penitent prostitute, and who received blessings from God and became a grandmother of Jesus. The promise of the gospel was not just about receiving temporal blessings such as land. Ultimately, it is about eternal forgiveness for people of all nations and times through Jesus Christ, who is the seed of Abraham. As Abram was called to be a blessing to other people, God says much will depend on the way that they treat you, and they had better be careful. God said quite clearly, those who treat you positively will have my favor shower down on them or their loved ones. Those who give you a hard time will experience my displeasure in ways you could only imagine. The text insists that a lot more people, however, will receive his blessings than his curses. The promise to bless all the families of the world through Abraham is fulfilled in our Lord. And in saying that, it does not mean that every household is going to become Christian. What this means is that people from all nations and languages will come to faith, and not only those who are just physically descended from Abraham. Verse 4, So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. He was 75 years old when he left Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. These verses describe Abram's immediate and unconditional response to God's call. He didn't say, God, wait a minute, I have a few things I want to talk about you with. It also tells us how Lot was attached to him. The Bible notes that Abram had authority over a significant number of people, including herdsmen, and including, we are told, 318 military-trained men who were members of his household. And so he migrates from northern Mesopotamia, and he goes up the Fertile Crescent and heads down to the land of Canaan, taking all of his possessions with him. Luther makes an interesting comment here, and he says, and I quote, "Promise and faith are part of it together. What God promised to Abraham worked faith in him and caused him to act in faith." Luther describes Abram's household as being a early, true, and holy church where Abraham served as the high priest of the family. One crucial point in Abram's obedience to God was that he acted without regards to his feelings. Following feelings, which is the rage in our day and age, principles out the window, people follow whatever they think is right in their own eyes. Following feelings simply means maintaining comfort levels in the status quo, which ultimately gets you nowhere. In modern times, in my judgment, religion has become far too subjective, with people relying mainly on their emotions rather than the words from God's mouth. Like Abram, we should follow the Word of God, the holy standard of God, irrespective of our personal feelings of what God has said. Verse 6, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Shechem is the first of several locations at Canaan which are associated with Abram. This site has been searched by archaeologists all the way back to Nelson Gluck and searched in depth, and it's known today as Tel Balata. As a semi-nomadic herdsman with a large group of followers, Abraham would have camped away from urban areas, and he would have used distinctive natural features like unusual rocks or trees to identify these various locations. It's important to note that even though God's people living in Canaan are called to be separate from the Canaanites, not to intermingle or to marry them, they're called to be separate. They are still called to live in the world and are surrounded by enemies. But as God said, he promised to protect his people from his enemies. Verse 7, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him." To understand the meaning of God's promise to Abram, it's important to recognize that at the time of the promise, the land of Canaan was teeming with people, a civilization with a large military force. Abram was told to believe that God would give this land to his descendants. This promise was the first of many manifestations of God to the patriarchs in response. And so Abram here built an altar to the Lord. This became a common practice of the patriarchal period before the tabernacle or the great tent was built. Luther here suggests, and again he admits it's speculation, but he's trying to narrow things down, and I believe it's helpful. He suggested that Abraham must have learned more about the Lord more fully through the ministry established by the patriarch Shem. Regardless of whether or not this is the case, he got his knowledge somewhere. It is clear that Abram believed in the religion of salvation by divine grace alone, which involved the shedding of the blood of an innocent substitute to cover man's sin. And to illustrate this, he makes a sacrifice to God of gratitude for all the wonderful promises made to him. Verse 8, "From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel in the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev." So after leaving Shechem, Abram travels south and settles between Bethel and Ai before going to Egypt. Archaeological excavations at Shechem have revealed a prosperous Canaanite city, and the fortifications for this one city are amazing. The walls and the doors and the gates are 12 feet thick, and they date back to the Middle Bronze Age between 2000 and 1500 BC. within the great walls of this city, a sanctuary, a Canaanite sanctuary, was discovered. Now, you know the Negev is a southern region of Canaan, and the Hebrew word Negev simply means to the south. And so Moses here is carefully recording the location of each place where Abraham and his family stopped to worship, and he made an historical marker there for the next generation of the Israelites. As they took possession of the land, they would be able to take their children and their children's children, carry them to a place, point to a monument saying, this is what happened here between God and Father Abraham. Abram, despite being 75 years old and traveling over 500 miles through very rough and dangerous terrain with his family and possessions, Abraham, by God's grace, remained faithful and trusted the Lord to guide him and to protect him. Despite facing numerous tests of his faithfulness, Abraham stumbled, like we all do, but he never lost trust in God. And as a result of his unwavering faith, Abram indeed became the father of many nations. And his story serves as a reminder of the importance of remaining faithful and trusting in God despite our feelings during both good times and difficult times. And so God called this idolater to faith and gave him a promise that he would fulfill for all people. Through the word, God's Spirit works faith wherever he pleases, as Jesus said in John 3. God is always faithful to his word, and he always keeps his promises. He indeed made Abram into a great nation and brought blessing to the world through his promised son. As Abram's offspring by faith, you and I are now blessed with God's forgiveness and eternal life that in many ways were pioneered by this man. You know, the call that Abram had to abandon all was very difficult to grasp how radical that would have been. Some new God telling you to forget everything. But when I was thinking about it earlier this week, it reminded me of the call of the gospel. Jesus said in Matthew 10:37, whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And Jesus said in Mark 8:35, for whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. The gospel of Jesus Christ calls to you and I to have an act of faith just as great as Abram. The gospel calls for you and I to rest our entire hope, our entire life, both now and eternally, by faith on the word of Christ. So to recap these lessons we see with Abram believing the gospel, true faith believes the bare word of God. True faith steps out with action on God's word, or either it doesn't really believe. True faith follows wherever God's word directs, even though we do not know the final destination. True faith worships. It builds altars and worships wherever it goes. True faith proclaims the name of the Lord to their neighbor. And true faith looked forward to this coming seed of woman who would save the nations from their sin. As you know, Abraham was a direct ancestor of Jesus Christ, and Abraham's faith in the coming Messiah was substantially the same as our faith in the Messiah who has already come. I close with the words of Acts 4:12, referring to the name of Jesus. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
This is Pastor Greg Cumby. Thank you for listening to the weekly broadcast from Our Savior Lutheran Church in Winchester, Virginia. For more information, you can find us online at oursavior-lcms.org. We invite you to join us next Sunday at 8:30 a.m. here on News Talk 1400.